Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome to April. It is April 1st, and it is a pleasure to be here with you as we invite spring into our world. Hopefully, we'll see some brighter skies and better days ahead of us, Tim.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter here in Minnesota, and we sure could deal with some better weather and just getting out of the house and breathing fresh air. So we're looking forward to that. Plus, Tim, it starts to open up the world around us for exploration again. And I think people are itching to get out and start exploring the world around them.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Today, we have an interesting topic to discuss in the pantheon of cryptid creatures. We have, of course, been introduced to the Loch Ness Monster, El Chupacabra, the Mothman, the Jersey Devil, the Dweo, our favorite, the Snallygaster. Of course, you've got the kings of all cryptids, Bigfoot, Sasquatch. But what many listeners don't know is there's another creature or two that exist that fit into this realm and have up until now pretty much been covered in very small groups. I don't know why. We'll find out about that in a few minutes when we talk to the hosts of the Sasquatch Report. We'll find out why there has been such little information leaked about these cryptids, what's going on with them, and what are these encounters like. So, ladies and gentlemen, from the Sasquatch Report, we have a link for that show on today's program as well. Please help us welcome the host, Boogs. Boogs, thanks so much for joining us today.
Not a problem, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have somebody that can come on and breathe a whole new life into the cryptid encounter. And obviously, I listed off some of the most famous and well-known notorious cryptid creatures. But although for years I've heard this, I don't know if you want to call it undercurrent building about this legendary creature that not many people discuss and the offshoots that are part of that, I've just got to ask you, Sasquatch, the Dunefoot, why are people not as familiar with these creatures as they are with all of their other cousins?
Well, Dave, I do believe it's an interstellar conspiracy led by the Greys from, what is that planet there? Zeta Reticuli 5 is where the Greys live. I do believe that they have kind of, you know, they've got some kind of beam out in space that they emit down to Earth. It just makes people uninterested in the most interesting of the Squatches, you know, the Sasquatch and the White Sands Dunefoot. Now, there's other offshoots if you want to hear about those, too. We can talk about those.
Well, yeah, I want to get into all of the offshoots and do this, but let's start with the baby steps. So you believe, you know, there's been a lot of discussion that Bigfoot may be an alien, but you believe that the aliens definitely have an influence or connection to Sasquatch and its offshoots.
Oh, most definitely, guys. Sasquatch and White Sands Dunefoot are the best known Foo Fighter pilots in the universe. Now, if you're not familiar with what a Foo Fighter is, now, back during World War II, both Allied and Axis pilots reported seeing UFOs, and Foo was kind of like, you know, for unidentified flying objects back then. So just to use the word Foo, they called them Foo Fighters. You know, so you see, and them Foo Fighters, they were piloted by Sasquatches, but the real elusive ones were piloted by White Sands Dunefoot.
So there were actually craft that were in the sky being flown by these legendary creatures of lore that were they allies to both sides? Were they there just to be their own protective shield against outside influences?
Well, actually, they were probably just observers, okay? You know, they wanted to kind of make sure that we only killed each other and we didn't, you know, go up into space and kill anybody else, you know? So I think that's pretty much what it was. You know, that's kind of the reason why, you know, the Greys, you know, emit that beam is, you know, they don't want anybody knowing about the Sasquatches and the Dunefoot. But, you know, for reasons, you know, if the reasons have got to be their own because, you know, it's just something we don't understand. You know, it may have something to do with the first interstellar Dunkin' Donuts, you know, because once the first interstellar Dunkin' Donuts opened up on Zeta Reticuli 7, now that's not the home planet of the Greys, but they colonized that planet. Now, once that Dunkin' Donut opened up on that planet, I mean, the Sasquatches and Newfies just swarmed all over that planet, and it kind of left it open, you know, where humans might actually. You see, that's how humans got to the moon. Okay, humans weren't supposed to get to the moon. Okay, but once you know that Dunkin' Donut opened up, the Sasquatches kind of lost a little bit of focus. You know, sucking down all that Dunkin' Donut coffee and that Dunkin' Donut donuts.
I was going to ask you that. I mean, obviously, we know the effect that caffeine and high levels of sugar can have on the human anatomy, and it's been linked to paranoia, schizophrenia, and also having psychotic episodes. Too much caffeine, too many overloads of sugar. Do you believe that we're influencing these visitors on another planet with the infusion of these things that we take for granted here on Earth? Are they maybe becoming polluted by this interstellar Dunkin' Donuts?
No.
All right, fair enough. You know better than I do dealing with this stuff. I mean, it's a fascinating aspect to look at, that there is this communication, that there is something going back and forth, and it makes it sound like these Foo Fighter pilots, the White Sands Dune Feet and the Sasquatches, they were up there to watch over and kind of keep things in line. So are you saying that if a UFO came into play, they would be the buffer between them to keep the allies or the enemies from shooting that down?
Well, you know, there were reports during World War II, you know, about pilots trying to chase a Foo Fighter, and they had no success, you know. Well, of course, it didn't have no success, you know. How is any mere human pilot going to outpilot a White Sands Dunefoot in his Foo Fighter, and especially if that Foo Fighter had been waxed up with 6-1 brand Foo Fighter wax? You know, when them things have got 6-1 brand Foo Fighter wax on them, not only do they look really fine, okay, they fly faster. Can you believe it? Can you believe some mere human trying to catch a Foo Fighter that's been waxed up with 6-1 Foo Fighter wax? It just boggles the old mind.
Is there any truth to the fact that they actually got the ingredients and the chemical compound for that Foo Fighter wax from the glazing that's used on donuts? Is that what's able to deal with the heat and the speed at the same time?
You know, Dave, that's a really good question. And offhand, I would have to say that is probably where 6-1 brand Foo Fighter wax came from. You know, I'm telling you what, because if you suck down a Dunkin' Donut glazed donut, oh wow, boy, not only does it taste good, it goes down quick. I mean, you take a bite and all of a sudden it's gone, you know.
You've got an interesting insight into this, but I have to ask, Boogs, how did you stumble upon the information about these creatures and their origins? Because obviously people are tight-lipped, and with the aliens beaming down this kind of disruptive beam to keep people from noticing or giving much attention to these creatures, how did you break through that?
Well, Dave, I was out, I was out in the desert one day, you know, chasing a mouse. And all of a sudden, I smelled some fresh mountain strawberries, and I'm thinking, this is a desert. How can you smell fresh mountain strawberries?
Right.
Well,
right.
I look behind me and I see this humongous thing. Okay. It's 9 foot, maybe 10 foot tall, and He didn't see me, because I'm kind of low to the ground, you know. He didn't see me, so I just took a gander and I looked, and I saw where he was going, where this creature was going, and I followed him. I went down into his lair, and despite the fact that there was a couple hundred thousand empty Dunkin' Donut coffee cups down there, they were all stacked neatly and nicely. You should have seen all the Dunkin' Donut, donut bags. Yeah, they were all folded up and stashed. It must be some kind of money for him out there in space, you know. Maybe he was on a delivery or something. But I followed him down into that lair, and there were all kinds of books. And believe it or not, these books were in cat, and they were some in English. There were actually some in another language I couldn't figure out. So I'm thinking it might have been you know, the language of the Greys. But, you know, it had all that information. It was like a secret society. It was like, you know, not only was it like a secret society, you know, all that information. You ever been inside a Mason's Lodge? You know, they got all them inscriptions on the wall and stuff. Mm-hmm.
So you think that, are you saying then that you believe that the Masons and the Knights Templar before them were aware of these beings as well, and that's why you're seeing similarities between the inscriptions in their caves and what we see in current day Freemasonry?
Well, you know, I don't really know, but I do believe that, that the treasure of Oak Island is actually a buried Foo Fighter.
Wow, that's an insight. So you are you thinking then that that all of these trinkets that they're finding along the way are from relics of future or past civilizations, or are they past civilizations that were also seeking the treasure and the Foo Fighter?
Well, you know what? It could be a past civilization from the future. Have you ever thought about that? Think of the conundrum, a past civilization from the future. It's a civilization that doesn't exist anymore, but it doesn't exist in the future. Does that make any sense, Dave?
It does.
Because it ain't me.
it's eye-opening, actually, mind-blowing concepts to consider. We talk about not all hauntings being from the past, that actually it might be time-slip phenomena. So you're putting forth the concept that maybe we're dealing with a future version of a civilization that has yet to actually exist here on our planet.
Well, you know, that is... That, you know, that is, you know, probably the case, you know, in Sasquatches and Foo Fighters, they can phase shift, you know, a lot of people speculate. Now, see that you remember that, you know, that Patterson Gimlin movie, you know, with right. that, ugly looking Sasquatch. Now,
right.
I'm sorry, but you know, that thing was one of the ugliest looking Sasquatches you ever saw. Well, a lot of people speculated, especially in the Sasquatch community, is that was a Sasquatch out there looking for, you know, looking to go into the future to find a burnt bucks, you know, so they could drink some of that burnt fee. Yeah, nasty. Have you ever had that stuff? Boy, that stuff's some of the worst coffee in the world. That's why they call it burnt fee, because it sits plugged in all day burnt.
Do you know, I mean, with their fascination and predilection for coffee and caffeine, do these creatures, as has often been considered, many Native American tribes have talked about the Bigfoot or Sasquatch communities having been around for centuries. Do you think that that's the same with the Dune Squatch and with the Sand Squatch, that they were around? Were they possibly even, you know, instrumental in introducing caffeine and coffee beans to the modern man?
Well, now if you take a look, you know, at the Sasquatches, okay. Now the Sasquatches, they used to be just a regular old Sasquatch, okay. Then they got tired of, you know, of hanging out with these, you know, smelly people. They wanted to smell like fresh mountain strawberries, so they immigrated to the Suav factory there in Mountain Home, Idaho. Okay, once they got them some Suav. I think it's like a dollar for a 55-gallon barrel. They immigrated down south. They wanted to hang out near Art Bell's house. Okay, they didn't want to go all the way out to Pahrump. So they immigrated there to Las Vegas. They kind of like the sound of, you know, of them. What do you want to call them one-armed bandits? What do you want to call them?
Slot
I have no
machines.
Idea.
Right,
slot machine. There you go. Right. They like the like that ka-ching, ka-ching all the time. So they immigrated down there around Las Vegas. Okay. And, you know, now if you ever see, I saw years ago, you know, about all these underground people that live out in Las Vegas, you know, living in the sewers and stuff. They got homes down in these sewers. But, you know, the Sasquatches, they didn't want to live in a sewer. So they built their own homes under Las Vegas. I'm pretty sure they've got a casino down there where they win nothing but Dunkin' Donuts and Dunkin' Donut coffee. But where was I at? Boy, I forgot. This is your show. So I guess I should keep the point.
That makes three of us. Well, just talking about the, you know, could these creatures, if they were indigenous to our planet before mankind, could they be the ones that have introduced us to things like coffee and caffeine?
Oh, most definitely. Because, you know, Sasquatch, you know, like in the desert. Now, a lot of people think that the original coffee beans came from the Arabian Peninsula. You know, because at one time, the Arabian Peninsula used to be nice and green, but it was warm, you know, like up in the mountains in Brazil where Juan Valdez lives. Now, see, some people speculate Juan Valdez is a coffee squatch, you know, a coffee bean squatch or something like that. He's a squatch of some kind they haven't identified yet. But they think that, you know, coffee beans originated in the Arabian Peninsula and just, you know, kind of made their way all around.
Wait a minute. Boogs, you've just dropped a bombshell on us. Are you saying that Juan Valdez, the name that we've all known as this famous bean picker, this coffee bean connoisseur, is actually perhaps a human Sasquatch hybrid? And that's why his skills are so amazing?
That could be, you know, that's a very good point that I didn't think of. I'm glad you're smart, because I'm not.
Oh, Boogs, don't put yourself down. Obviously, you're tied into this realm, and you have a good handle on it that many people do not. It's actually very fascinating. It makes a lot of sense when you look at the cabal of the universe and the interconnectedness, the Illuminati aspects of how we are overlorded, and now you start to realize that maybe there's more to do with the hybridization process, that we are not straight, clean DNA, that we may be interspaced and not just aliens, but with the Sasquatch, the Sasquatch people, and so on. Are they as warring a community as humans are, or are they more of the tree-huggery society?
Well, you know what? I think people are people, and most of the
that's what Tears for Fears told us in the '80s.
Well, you know, everybody's got a problem.
That's right.
Everybody wants to rule the world too. But people are people, and if you got a soul, you got wants and you got desires, and you know you may have problems and stuff like that. So I'm thinking. Well, you know, because if you look at the history of the Greys, they started off on Zeta Reticuli 5. That's their home planet. And so far, they've colonized just about every single one of them planets in Zeta Reticuli. Now, Zeta Reticuli 17 has got vacation homes. Don't ask me why. It's volcanoes. Have you ever been there? That place is nothing but volcanoes. I think the Greys must have something, you know, some kind of thing for volcanoes. We won't go into that.
Might be, you know, I mean, look at even humans here. We're drawn to places like Yosemite National Park, which is a giant dormant volcano getting ready to rumble to life. Hawaii, one of the most famous destinations. Maybe there is something innately part of us that enjoys being close to death without even realizing it. And that may be the same kind of aspect that's going on, especially if the seed of the universe has been spread so nominally all over.
Yeah, I agree with that, because there are other humans out there in out there among the planets. You know, don't let people fool, you know, you're saying that there aren't humans on other planets. There are. Okay, and whether this is our home planet or not, see, there's a lot of debate even among the Christian community about whether or not this is our home planet. You know, there are some people that are not very well thought of that think that the humans didn't originate on Earth, that they originated on Mars, and some cataclysm happened on Mars, and they had to, you know, hop in their little Foo Fighters and head here. But you know, it would be nice to know all these secrets. Unfortunately, the Sasquatches, they want too many Dunkin' Donuts to spill all these secrets. I can't afford it all. See, that's why we do 1-800-SQUAB for Squatches, you know, on the Sasquatch Report, is so we can, not only do we help, you know, Sasquatches that, you know, can't find a Foo Fighter piloting job at the time, but we use it for bribe money to get all this good info out of them. You know, sooner or later, we're going to get the secrets to the universe out of them. It's going to cost us some, but we're going to get them.
Are the aliens that are currently creating this temporal disturbance to keep humans from really acknowledging or being aware of the Dune Feet and Sasquatch, are they going to become dangerous to us because people like you and now our show are putting forth this information? Are they going to become hostile to the idea that we're taking something that they're guarding so protectively and releasing it to the general populace?
No, not really. You know, it's kind of like any secret, you know. Hey, at one time, there was only one nuclear power on the world. And that one nuclear power is the only one that actually used nuclear weapons in a war type situation. They don't like it. They don't like this information getting out. But you know, it's kind of like there's factions among the Doomfeet the Doomfeet and the Sasquatches. I guess you could call them good guys. You know, Sasquatches. They're not good guys. Okay, they kind of live on the rough side of the universe. You know, the other side of Alpha Centauri. they kind of live over there. But you know, it's once you know the information is slowly dribbling out. You know, it's kind of like how you know how we, like I don't know, like the first 10, 15 attempts, you know, to land a rover on Mars all just failed, and you know it was a variety of stuff. But then finally one got down, and since that one got down, just about every other one has been getting down. It's like that. It's just kind of like a sieve, you know. They can tighten, you know, like Emperor Palpatine. You know, you can tighten your grip, you know, but the more you tighten that grip, you know, the more that kind of slipped through them fingers, if you know what I mean.
I do. Are you – so with this population, you're saying, of humans and other species that are populating all over the universe and galaxy, and now they're considering that there may have been life teeming on Mars, Jupiter and its moons are certainly becoming very interesting for the scientific community. They think they're going to uncover some really amazing information as they continue to do these deep dives. Do we know if there's anything coming from Uranus?
What a loaded question that is, Mr. Schrader. What a loaded question that is.
Well, I've just got to guess. If we start, because if there is this trafficking that's going on between our planet and different aspects of the universe, and we start shuffling a lot of coffee and caffeinated beverages to Uranus, there could be an explosion that will rebel any kind of big bang that started the universe. Or is that perhaps even how the universe began? Was this something that's been going on for millennia, countless years and centuries before this? Is it an explosion from Uranus that started life as we know it?
So what you're saying, Dave, is that everything we now are, were and will be was nothing but a big fart.
Well, I don't like to think of it as a fart so much as more of a an anal felching into the universe of life, right? It's we know that that there have been rocks that have settled here on our planet that have bacteria, that have small life forms that have existed. Right? They've just dug up under the permafrost in Siberia worms that are over 10,000 years old that have thawed out and come back to life. That seems to be something that supersedes what we know of on this planet. So it only makes sense that if worms were going to come to our planet, it would definitely start from Uranus.
Well, you know, that probably is the case. Now, there's other stuff that could come from Uranus. But you know what? We don't want to talk about that because it's kind of smelly. You know, we don't want to talk about that smelly stuff. What were we talking about, Dave?
Well, we were just talking about, well, yeah, but I understand this is all so interconnected. I can see the strands before me of how this works, you know. And again, folks, you have to do your own research. You have to dig deep. We just talk about these foundations of possibilities. Dig into Uranus and see if the asteroids that have pummeled our Earth may have actually been expelled from Uranus centuries ago. Could that be the opening of life itself, this chasm that expelled energy and bio information that has fruitified here on our planet? I think that's a word, Tim. Fruitified? Is it a planet?
Yeah, I'll go with it.
A word?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. So there could be quite a bit concerning what exactly we're dealing with in this situation. Now, you were saying that the Sasquatch, the white dunes feet, are actually more protectors. Does that mean that the Sasquatch, the Yeti, abominable snowman, the woolly boogers, the skunk apes, the wild men, are they more of a watered down version, a less pure nature of the dune feet and the Sasquatch? Is that why they're a little bit more aggressive?
I do believe that is the case, you know, because Sasquatches, they actually seem to act like, what a Nephilim would act like, you know, a fallen angel, know, they act kind of mean. You know, you see, you saw that look that that Sasquatch gave Gimlin and Patterson out there.
Right.
It's like, you know, he was saying like, you know, if I could eat you, I would, you know, but then you'd come out, you know, he would. You know, and some of these other ones, you know, I don't know a whole lot about them, but they seem to be populated, you know, on the south side of Alpha Centauri. You know, they're in a bad neighborhood there, and they seem to like that bad neighborhood. You know, they seem to like, you know, now I've seen I've read reports and stuff, you know, about, you know, some kind of cryptid attacking people in their car and, you know, bashing their car in. You know, trying to tip the car over while they're in it, you know, banging on their houses and stuff. And, you know, I just don't see these people as being in the same category as a White Sands Dunefoot or a Sasquatch, you know, or even a Swamp Squatch. See, now, Swamp Squatch, they live down there in the bayou, okay, in Louisiana. But they're good folks. You know, they like hunting alligators. They don't like hunting them for food. They like hunting them for pets. And there's other kind of squatches, huh?
What?
Yeah, it's a swamp squatch.
They domesticate alligators as their pets.
Yeah, just like we do. Just like we do is you know, with
dogs,
with and dogs and cats. Yeah. Hold on 1 second, would you please? God damn it.
We are talking to Boogs. He is the central operator of the Sasquatch Report. We have a link for that show. If you want to go deeper into these conspiracies and understandings of these amazing cryptids, and you want to know more about what's being kept from us, from our government, and apparently interplanetary...
I'm sorry, Dave. I had a friend that didn't understand that an open door means an open door.
I completely understand that. I was just explaining to listeners that they can do deeper dives into the subject by checking out your podcast, The Sasquatch Report, and learning a little bit more about this hidden realm of our own history and where these beings are coming from. You know, one of the biggest aspects, maybe you could shed some light on, people have a problem believing in some of these different cryptids, especially when you're talking about 6 foot to 9 foot tall, hairy hominid bipedal creatures. How can they evade our awareness for so long, and why aren't we finding their bodies?
Well, you know, Dave, you do know that that all squatches have the ability to sit, you know, phase shift. You know, they can kind of, you know, phase in into this reality and out whenever they want. And when they get scared, okay, or if they just don't feel like, you know, messing around, they will, you know, phase shift into another dimension, you know, while whatever situation they want resolved, you know, finishes up. And that's the same thing, you know. To my knowledge, see, I have never, ever, none of my Sasquatch friends have passed to, you know, to the other side yet. So I honestly don't know. And they kind of tight-lipped about what happens. You know, it could be that, you know, that these Sasquatches and the Doomfeet and the other good squatches, they, you know, they could have, you know, found some kind of ability to, I would say, not, you know, not be immortal, but, you know, to choose the time of their own passing and the place of their own passing. So when they do pass, they're phased out of this universe that we live in, and their bodies are never found. And, you know, speaking about Uranus, you've never seen squatch poop come out of Uranus now, have you?
Not yet, but certainly as we continue to explore the ever-expanding universe, we may find that. And I'm not, you know, maybe that's what Eisenhower was referring to back in the day when he was asked about the saucer situation, and he said he was aware of that and other shit that was going on in the universe. That may be what he was explicitly referring to.
It's very possible, Dave. It's very possible. Yeah.
listen, we're only limited by the imaginations that we have. By shutting things out, closing down to the possibilities and probabilities of the world around us, to what we understand, people are seeing and experiencing things now that, you know, in the past were only considered fantastical. Or maybe this opens up the concept that dragons, unicorns, creatures like that actually existed here on Earth at one point, but are no longer in phase with our planet. Maybe they're there, but just a simple jump to the left and then a step to the right. And they're that close to us. And if we just learn the right pelvic thrust, we might be able to actually communicate again with this realm. And I don't know that we're that far away from it. Exciting things are happening in the world around us, especially in the world of disclosure with UFOs. They claim that there are some big findings that are coming our way. And now that we're starting to get this leakage of, Sasquatch information, and, you know, you can hear it in books. He's anal when it comes to this. He knows his information. So when the anal leakage of this information is given to us, we have to accept it for what it is, and an open mind and a paradigm shifting reality. We have to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk more about this. And as you heard, Boogs has communication with some of the Sasquatch. What is it like, and what was that first meeting like? We'll discuss that and more when we return to the best of Paranormal Activity here on April 1st. Keep your dials tuned to this show. This is Coast to Coast, one of the best programs in the Dark Matter universe. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back. We are licking and sticking like Popeye's fried chicken. Tim Dennis is here with me. Boogs from the Sasquatch Report. Tim, this is a lot to digest. I've got to ask you, I mean, what are your thoughts so far going into this? I know that you and I have always kind of been at odds when it comes to the concept of these cryptid creatures existing. Yeah, and you know, now that you're hearing that there's a whole other subset, which actually isn't really a subset, it almost sounds like they're a superior set. They might be the more purified versions of these beings that other people are encountering. What are your feelings and thoughts going into this?
Well, although I wrestle back and forth with it, Dave, I really don't want to stop the anal leakage that's coming from Boogs right now. I do want to let it come forth and just continue to let it spill. And kind of weigh how much this anal leakage is coming from Boogs, and continue to find out more about Sasquatch, because I'm kind of intrigued as to what's coming forth from Boogs.
Now, Boogs, you dropped a little bomb on us in the last one. I don't know if many people heard this, but you actually talked about the Sasquatches that you're in contact with. How old were you when you were first contacted or became aware of these Sasquatch?
Well, you know, like I said, I was out in the desert, and I smelled those fresh mountain strawberries, and, you know, I thought to myself, how do you get fresh mountain strawberries out in the desert? You know, there are no strawberries out in the desert to my knowledge. There might be, but I don't know about them. So, like I said, I followed the Sasquatch. I followed this thing home, and, you know, despite all the, you know, empty Dunkin' Donut coffee cups and empty Dunkin' Donut bags in his, you know, in his lair, place was pretty clean, okay? And he had a picture of his family up there. There was a pretty little Sasquatch lady, and there's 9 or 10 little Sasquatch kids, you know? And then there was a book on his desk that says, "Where do Sasquatches come from?" So I read the book, and I didn't read everything. Okay, because as soon as he saw me, I had to run.
Was this basically a book that was written to for his children so that they would understand where their place in life began and how they came to live here amongst us?
Yeah, well, what happened was is he was piloting some high level diplomats from Zeta Reticuli 1. That's their diplomat world. He was piloting some high level diplomats. And they were going to, some other planet somewhere with a goofy name, you know, I can't remember. I can't remember, too. Okay. But they had mechanical breakdown on their Foo Fighter, and they had to land on Earth. So they just decided to stay here on Earth and, you know, find out what was going on. you know, and then they, you know, then they realized that sooner or later there'd be Dunkin' Donuts on this planet. So they just sit around and they waited. Okay. And while they were waiting, they were listening to this radio station. I think it's out of Canada, KONR. Now that's a question we got to ask a Sasquatch, is how can you have Kingdom of Nye radio in Canada when Nye is in Nevada?
Well, the radio waves, which I'm sure the aliens are familiar with, is they're using a polluted form of radio waves to help block the perception filters from humans to identifying Sasquatch and Dunefeet.
That's true. That's true. That is so true, Dave. I'm glad you said that because I never would have thought of it.
Well, it's remaining, as Bruce Lee would say, fluid, like water, not fighting or resisting and going with the flow to understand these things more. That's the concept you have to go into when you're exploring the supernatural and claims that are fantastical, folks, being more like the water. And, you know, that might actually help you understand where we're coming from. So you read this book, you kind of get this familiarization. They're living very, it sounds almost primitive in one sense, but then very domesticated in another. When you communicate with them, is it a telepathic communication, Boogs, or are you speaking out loud to these beings?
Oh, no, they speak English, and they have an English accent, you know, the proper London accent. I can't do the accent, but you know.
So they're speaking like the Queen's English. They're very proper. We're not getting Cockney or the rhymey, timey English accents.
No, exactly not. All right.
So they speak this language. Their communication with you, letting you in. Are they when they realize you've read and you've kind of snooped into this? Are they defensive about it? Were you afraid for your own safety that maybe they wouldn't let you leave now that you'd uncovered too much?
Not really, because Sasquatches and Dunefeet, they like cats, okay? They're protective of cats, and they're also protective of young children. They would never, ever try to scare a young child on purpose. Now, they does happen every once in a while, you know, when they're running to it, you know, well, Sasquatch running to a Dunkin' Donuts is a sight to see. I mean, you know, but it would scare a young child if you saw it. You know, but they don't scare people, young children especially, on purpose. Or cats
are they
on
they dumpster diving when they go there to get their food and coffee? Because I can't guess they could just walk in through the door. Or are they advanced enough that they can, actually alter the perception filters of humans to the fact where we think we're seeing a human? In fact, it's this Dunefeet or Sasquatch that's entered an establishment.
I think they can actually alter the perception of what they look like to go in and buy their coffee and donuts. Now, a lot of times they would use you'd use Bart Bucks, you know, to buy their stuff, You know, Dunkin' Donuts said, take Bart Bucks. But, you know, recently there's been one person, and we caught him. We know who it is, and we're going to announce it on the next, one of the next Sasquatch reports about who's passing those counterfeit Bart Bucks. We know who it is, so.
Is this intergalactic currency that's accepted throughout the known universe, or is this something that the Sasquatches and Dunefeet use particularly here on Earth?
They mostly use it on Earth. It seems to be accepted a lot in Canada too. I don't know why. Bart Bucks might be better than regular Canadian money. I know they're getting on par with regular American money. American money ain't worth much anymore either. I thought it was funny.
But yeah, sad. I gotta say, I'm quite the connoisseur of Dunkin' Donuts, and I go there quite a bit myself. And being a connoisseur of the menu, and also having watched quite a few Bigfoot shows myself, I know that they tend to be meat eaters, at least the regular Sasquatch are. I know I'm a huge fan of the breakfast sandwiches over there at Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm a huge fan of the breakfast bacon. So I'm wondering, are the Sasquatches a fan of the breakfast sandwiches and the breakfast bacon?
Well, you know what they really like is they like Jimmy Dean meat lovers breakfast bowls. They like those. And what they'll do is they'll heat one of those up in the microwave, and they'll take a couple of Dunkin' Donuts and crumble it up on top and use it for topping. So they get the best of both worlds.
Oh, that kind of sounds delicious, actually.
I'm actually surprised that if there is such a high level of interest in Canada that they're not more drawn to the Tim Hortons brand, to be honest with you, but that's neither here nor there. Do we know, are there any connective tissues between these Sasquatches, Dunefeet, to other cryptid races? Are they aware? Do they just coexist? Are those beings from other planets as well? Or are they the actual indigenous species of this planet?
Well, you know, that's a really super good question. Now, regular old Bigfoots, you know, big, nasty, dirty, filthy, smelly Bigfoots, you know, it smells like your regular French sewer. I think that's indigenous to Earth. Now, some of the other ones.
I just want to say really quickly, Boogs, I'm sorry, you and I are friendly. We're nice. I just want any of the Sasquatch fans and community out there to realize that what our guest is discussing is more his beliefs. It does not necessarily reflect the beliefs of the hosts of the show or the program or the network that we appear on regarding Bigfoot and their sense or the way that they present themselves. Tim and I are very kumbaya when it comes to that. If they're comfortable in their own skin and in their own nature, we accept that about them. So, you know, maybe a little bit more respect along the line on that for them, Boogs, because we might have a contingent listening to the show. We don't want to alienate any of our listeners.
And I happen to love French sewers, Dave. I don't know about you, but it's just me. Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of French sewers that come from Uranus, so, you know, so what does that, I had to let that in there. Right?
Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry. Okay. So, are there connections? Do these species know one another? Are they the indigenous spirits of Earth?
Well, a Bigfoot, yes, a Bigfoot in all its glory is an indigenous to Earth, to my knowledge. Okay, they claim to be indigenous. Now, the Dunefeet in Sasquatches say they're indigenous. Okay, but some of the other brands are not indigenous to Earth. Now, where they're actually from is open to debate, and some of them don't want to debate. Okay, guys, they don't really want to know. You know what? It's like my heritage. You know, I don't know what my heritage is, and I really don't care. I am who I am. You know, so what does it matter where I came from?
I agree 100%. I just know that people are always looking to pigeonhole and put things in boxes. They want to understand where things came from, where they begin, and how they grew from that. It sounds like, you know, maybe we've been a cauldron, just a giant seething cesspool of man batter from different planets that has been stirred into one incestuous pot of humanity. And all of these creatures have sprung forth from this at points in our timeline.
More than likely. That's a really good point. And you lost me.
Well, talking about the connection between these creatures and other cryptids, do they acknowledge one another? Do they live in each other's visual spectrum? Are they even aware that other beings exist besides humanity on these planets? Or are they also being blocked from being able to see the Dunefeet and the Sasquatch?
Oh, yes. They're very much aware. Now, to my knowledge, the phase shifting that the Squatch can do isn't they can't hide themselves from a certain, you know, let's say a certain race. You know, a Sasquatch can't hide themselves from a certain Dunefoot, you know what I'm saying? Or from the Dunefeet completely. Now, they could phase shift away from a certain area or event, get out of the view of a specific person, but not all the people specifically. See, I think that's what was happening, in that, we'll go back to that famous Patterson-Gimlin film again, okay, is that he had phase shifted away from somebody else, because wasn't there a third person in that party that was way back? I can't remember.
Well, according, there was supposedly a third person there, but then, of course, you've got Bob Hieronymus, who claims to be the man that was inside Bigfoot, not many people claim to have ever been inside a Bigfoot before, but he's very open about it, and we're accepting of that.
Yeah. Well, you see, what the thought is, the general consensus is that Bigfoot had phase shifted away from the third person that was way back, and he didn't realize that the other two were there until it was too late and he was captured on film. Now, had he realized that they were there, he just would have phase shifted all the way through and not, you know, not been spotted by anybody. So that's kind of how Doomfoot could go. Let's say you're walking, you know, down the Mall of America, and you're looking, you know, for a brand new Starbucks opening up, and you see this big creature, you know, you say, well, what is that? And you look again, a second again, you know, you say, oh, I must have been seeing things. So you didn't see anything. See, that Doomfoot or that Sasquatch just face shifted away from your view. Now, he's probably still there. You know, he'll come back at a certain point in time when he won't be seen. See, I think that's how it works. I don't think you can actually hide yourself. You know, you come from Zeta Reticuli 5. I don't think you can hide yourself, you know, from the folks that come from Zeta Reticuli 7.
Do you think that there's any element to, you know, especially when people talk about this phasing ability, you know, some people have talked about these actually being ghosts or time travelers. Do you think that this phasing is what creates the smell? I've got to guess there's some kind of discharge between this and whatever visual spectrum they're going to. And as they're popping in and out, is that what's creating this scent that is often attributed to these creatures?
Well, now, you see, I hang around Sasquatches and Doomfeet. You see, they smell like fresh mountain strawberries, okay? Because they use Suave fresh mountain strawberry shampoo as a body wash. So they always smell like fresh mountain strawberries, even when they're not near the mountains. Now a swamp squatch, what is that? That fresh scent, what do you want to call it? A deodorant. Okay, they use that fresh scent deodorant. Now they smell like always smell fresh. Now we're not going to go to the other one, see, but there's some other smelly ones, and I think they like to, you know, hang out in Uranus or something.
Well, it would seem, but you know, Tim, that is actually interesting. If these creatures are using products that have been created by humanity to try to mask their scent, mm-hmm. It would explain again the matted fur, because I know what my underarm looks like after coating it with any kind of deodorant. Their fur would look that matted, pasty, sometimes crumbly, or perhaps sticky appearance. So, you know, things are kind of falling into place here and aligning for the understanding of what people have seen for years.
So Sasquatch uses deodorant?
That's what he's saying, is that the Sasquatches and some swamp squatch especially will sometimes try to mask their scent using these human devices.
I wonder if Sasquatch can get a endorsement deal then.
Well, he's already doing soap. So yeah. I don't see, you know, the next move up being razors and deodorant really seems to make sense to me. But at this point, I'm wondering if they've already, you know, entered into some kind of black market cabal with Dunkin' Donuts to help traffic this drink and sugary treats out to other planets. But again, you know, we're just theorizing it. I don't want to put that on the Dunkin' Donut people. They may not even be aware that this is currently going on. When we look at the cosmic spectrum of life as it is, Boogs, and your understanding of these beings and where they fit into our world, what do you feel is their main message to us, the humanity that resides here among them? Is there something that they want from us, or do they just want to be ignored and left to live their own life, kind of like my teenage daughters?
Like I said before, you know, most squatches are just people, you know, and people are going to act like people. You got some good ones. You got some bad ones. You got some nice smelling ones. You got some stinky ones. You got some tall ones, and you got some short ones. You know, they just kind of want to do their own thing, make their own friends, live their own life. You know, kind of like the, you know, the people down the street from you. You know, you know them a little bit, but you don't really know a whole lot about them. And you just live and let live. You know, I think that might be the main message that they're trying to, you know, that they're trying to tell you. Because to my known knowledge, there has not been any kind of war or fight or anything like that, other than Squatchomania, which might add, coming up, Sandy the Squatcho Man Savage is going to be wrestling the Squatcher for the Multiversal Intergalactic Heavyweight Championship. Not championship, championship, okay? Now, the Squatcher, he's favored to win, but if you want my advice, put your money on the Squatcho Man. I think he's going to win that title.
I don't know if people are aware of this. Obviously, I know you're plugged in, so you've got a good handle on this. Hulu has a new show called Sasquatch that examines whether a Bigfoot murdered three people on a marijuana farm. Many people are skeptical enough of Bigfoot's existence, but what about a murderous Bigfoot who has been known to tear people limb from limb? Journalist David Holthouse calls the urban legend the craziest story he's ever heard, and he's just crazy enough to look into whether the tale actually happened in Hulu's new series, Sasquatch. Not a joke, folks. This exists. As seen in their exclusive trailer you can find online. Directed by Joshua Raffe and executive produced by Steven Berger and the Duplass brothers, it's a three-part docuseries that takes a look at the infamous Emerald Triangle in Northern California, which is one of the largest cannabis-growing regions that also holds the highest missing persons and murder rate in the state. Sasquatch goes behind Holthouse's investigation into a bizarre triple homicide said to be the work of the deadly and elusive Sasquatch. After hearing the unbelievable story back in 1993, Holthouse is back 25 years later as he searches for actual evidence that sheds light on what happened that night. As he digs deeper, he sees Sasquatch, and also known as Bigfoot, might not be the only dangerous creature in the area. Do you believe Sasquatch may be a part of this reveal that he's going to share in this new series?
Sasquatch murdering a human never happened. It just wouldn't happen. Okay. Not unless something really, really extreme went on, you know, and popping somebody over a little bit of weed. Nah, you know, because you can't buy weed with Bart Bucks anyway.
Well, if there,
maybe we ought to get some confirmation of that from Bart L. You think we should?
I'm certainly willing to look into it. I know he's tied into a lot of things and seems to know a lot of secrets that the rest of the universe is still unaware of. But this documentary series, three-part series, debuts April 20th on Hulu. It's, again, executive produced by Mark and Jay Duplass and Mel Eslin of Duplass Brothers Productions. They did Wild Wild Country and Evil Genius. The series is real. It is available. You can find out more. But I'm curious, if we examine this concept, we know about the physiology of humans. We know the effects of marijuana on them. We know the effects of sugar and caffeine on them. We're hearing that the effects of sugar and caffeine may be almost like a drug to the Dune Feet and Sasquatch iterations of these cryptids. It makes me wonder then, you know, marijuana is known to have a calming influence on humans and humanity. Could it have an opposite effect on the Bigfoot and Sasquatch community? Could it make them more aggressive? We know how we feel and how hungry we get when on marijuana. Could that be part of this that you don't even realize yet, Boogs, that maybe the Dune Feet and Sasquatches that you know are not affected by the devil's lettuce, and when incorporated into their diet, whether through eating, breathing, or baking into pies, perhaps they are affected in a much more negative way. Would you be surprised if that's uncovered during this documentary?
Well, you know, it might. I don't think I'd be surprised, but you know, if you remember, what is that, the Didelia Pass incident, where a group of Russian campers.
Right.
Yeah, they, you know, it was speculated that a couple of squatches had done them people in, and it turned out that, well, that wasn't the case at all. So, you know, go ahead and investigate and find out what's going on out there, but don't be surprised if you find something a little bit more mundane than these three folks being murdered by a squatch, because I just don't think it had happened, you know. Right. Squatches are more into scaring people instead of hurting them. They might bang on your house or knock your car around a bit, but I think they want to scare you more than actually hurt you.
Could we be dealing with another version, like a skunk weed squatch or something that we're not even aware of yet? Ooh. Something that could be lurking in the shadows that, when you cross their borders and enter their marijuana fields, they become very aggressive.
That could be, you know, that's a good point. You could be, but see, I've never done marijuana. I've never done I've never done a recreational drug, except other than, yes, I'm positive. Done a recreational drug other than alcohol.
I'm going to have to question that. I'd like a pee test, to be honest with you, Boogs.
Okay, well, you name the place. You got to pay for the drop, though, okay?
That's fine. I'm all for it.
And what do I get when I pass the test?
Well, then it just gives us a better understanding of who we are dealing with when we're getting these reports from the Sasquatch report. It's a great insight.
I can't believe I've been accused of drug use by Dave Schrader.
No, it's not. I just simply, I know listeners around the world are going to, especially after this interview, they're going to have their wonders. They're going to have their concerns, probably for all three of us, about, our usage of this. It's interesting, though, is something else using this? And I wonder if it's going to be uncovered in a very Scooby-Doo-like manner. Are we going to yank the mask off of one of these Sasquatches, Weed Squatch, if you will, and find out that they're really Old Man Duplass that runs the edible shop down the street?
Well, it's always possible, but you never know. Sorry, I just ripped the thing out of my ear real quick here. It's always possible.
Excited and upset.
No, I'm not upset.
Okay. I just putting it out there that people have questions regarding this. Is there a way that we, the people, in order to form a more perfect union with these beings, what do you suggest people do aside from obviously baiting them with donuts and coffee? What else can we do to commune with these creatures of nature and show them that we would like a better understanding and maybe to have them finally feel free to come from the shadows?
Well, you know what? If they actually want to, learn about the Sasquatches, okay, and the Toon Feet, they can go to XI University. And they can get actually advanced degrees, okay? They can get PhDs, which is a doctor of philosophy, in white sands dune footery or Sasquatchery. Now, to be honest with you, I'd go for both degrees because it costs less, okay? One degree will cost you $16.95 plus license, title, taxes, fees, shipping, handling, postage, value-added tax, and a lot of other taxes. But two of them is only $24.99. So just send Exile some money. And as long as he's got ink in that printer, you can have a doctor of philosophy in White Sands Dune Footery and a doctor of philosophy in Sasquatchology. Now, if you get both of them, we're going to throw in an associate's degree in Bigfoot Grievance Studies. Okay, we'll just say it's Bigfoot Grievance Studies. Now, that's not all, though. That's not all. You get both. You send Exile that money plus all them extras, Not only will you get the 3 degrees, we'll send you a complimentary 3-ounce can of 6-1 brand Foo Fighter wax. Okay, one Squatch Wow. You say, Boys, what the hell is a Squatch Wow? Well, a Squatch Wow is the same as a Sand Wow, but it's shaped in the head of a Squatch, and it uses real Squatch for it. It'll shine that Foo Fighter up like mad. Okay? So send Exile some money, and you can be an expert in all them Squatches. Now, don't you want to be an expert?
I know I do. And listen, we are always stressing education to our listeners. And if you can get an education for $25 and get these degrees, who wouldn't? It only makes sense. We'll have a link in today's program guide to the Sasquatch report. So you can go there, find more information and follow through. Tim, I know you had a question for Boogs before we have to say goodbye here.
Yep, just one little thing here. First of all, Boogs, if you pass your urine test, your first eighth of Kush is on me. That's just a little side note. Secondly, as we were talking a little bit here, it dawned on me with all this coffee, especially when I go to Dunkin', I like extra cream, extra sugar in my coffee. And then we're talking all these donuts with Sasquatch. It's dawning on me that the obesity rate in Sasquatch has got to be out of this world. And healthcare has got to be concerned with Sasquatch. I took it upon myself to contact our congressman here in Minnesota, Congressman Tom Emmer. I'm wondering... I kind of took a little bit upon myself to take some action here, but I'm wondering before I do anything further here, is there healthcare among the Sasquatch community? How do they deal with the obesity rate when it comes to all this Dunkin' Donuts?
Well, Tim, if you see a fat Sasquatch, please take a picture and show it, because they're just exercising monsters. Okay, now hearing that crinkle from that package, I'm sure you've seen that or heard that.
Yeah.
Now let's say a Sasquatch is out there in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. okay, and then they hear, the ribbon being cut on a new Dunkin' Donuts in Newark, New Jersey. Boy, I tell you what, vroom, they're there. They can run. They'll be there in a heartbeat. All that running takes care of all that sugar and okay. takes care of all that fat.
All right.
And like I said, if you see a fat Sasquatch, you take a picture and you send it to the Squatch Report, and we'll post it online.
Okay. Well, that's probably a good thing, because I did just get an answer back from Congressman Emmer. He said, you might want to take that bill you drafted up, roll it up real tight, and mail it to Uranus. I don't know what that means. I have no idea.
Obviously, it's part of the disclosure, Tim. It's letting us know that this is where we're going to be able to start sending forth those questions.
It may be, Dave. It may be. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Boogs, thank you for coming on the show first to share some insights into this elusive species of beings that we cohabitate with. Maybe now the awareness is out there. People can start peeling the scales back from their eyes and seeing this for the incredible place that we live, and learning that all species are important and we need to interact with them in a more cohesive and loving environment. Boogs, keep up the great work with the Sasquatch Report, and I hope people will tune in to find out more information. And please, as news breaks, and if you get any photographs, please let us know, because we'd love to share them with our listeners here on the program.
Not a problem. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Tim. It's been a blast talking to you. And if anything else comes out of Uranus, please let us know.
We will. We're keeping a close eye on Uranus, and anything that it expels towards our planet will be reported here on the program. Thank you for joining us on this April 1st, folks, and we hope that you enjoyed the program as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. We'll be back with more of the best in paranormal talk radio next week. Make sure you tune in right here to Darkness Radio.